watershed moments that change your life, you know. It could be on a job, in a church, at home, while you're meditating. It could be at any time in your life. It could be when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever age. But a watershed moment is so profound, I don't even have words for it, except for to show you some examples. I had some watershed moments in my life. The biggest watershed moment was to realize I was a sinner. You know, God had to show me that I was a sinner, and that He made a way of escape. Another watershed moment was where I had to see that everybody else around me was pure evil too. Even people in the church would throw you under the bus faster than people in the world a lot of times. Another watershed moment was you can realize that you're married to you have an enemy in your own house. You're married to the devil, you know. I'll give you an example. This was a weird example, but this is real. So my wife knew that I didn't watch sports, and I'm not a sports person. After I got saved, I no longer care about sports. I just saw them all the same. It's part of the world, you know. So we were riding down the road, and then out of the blue, she started talking about her team or something. Well, our team is going to beat your team. And it was a watershed moment that she didn't know me. As much as I've told her, I realized then either she didn't know me or she was just trying to provoke me. Because I had told her, I don't care about sport. I don't care about college football or any of it. It's of the world, you know. So I had a watershed moment that I was married to somebody that had a different paradigm, a different view of life, totally different, and couldn't hear me. She couldn't hear me. And so that's a good example. It was just like, oh, she's either, the devil in her is either trying to reveal himself, or she's trying to just provoke me, or I'm waking up to the fact that she hadn't heard a word I said. She hasn't heard a word I said. I had this dude speeding in a rental truck just now. Looked like he worked with him, and he almost caused a wreck because he wanted to get around somebody. That's another watershed moment. You realize that the system's trying to rush you and make you so busy and so out of it that you don't even know you're rushing to work, rushing home, rushing here. Everything becomes a rush. And when you realize what's going on, you just quit. You're not in a hurry anymore. And when you realize the church was trying to do the same thing, like the corporate, the world system's doing, trying to rush you. You got to be here every time the doors are open, blah. You got to do this, you got to join this, you got to join this, you got to do this, you got to go here, I thought, what? I don't think so. I said, that's what the world is trying to do. But when you wake up to the that's a watershed moment when you wake up to the fact that the whole system's trying to stress you out and make you so busy that you can't even think straight. See, it's a distraction. Another watershed moment was the TV. That was a long time ago. TVs brainwashing you to think like the culture. Another watershed moment, which is about 3 years ago, was why am I listening to the world's music and putting their thoughts? It's why am I bombarding my mind with the worldly wisdom? I can't hear from God then, right? And so when I cut the music off, I really advanced past where I was, way past where I was at. TV was a long time ago. Another watershed moment is everybody around you, all your bloodline and friends, so-called, everything out of their mouth was worldly wisdom. And when you started cutting them off one by one, you started realizing they were the ones trying to take away your peace. The devil was using them to try to take away your peace. They would call up or something and say, can you believe this? And so that watershed moment allowed me to start taking notes on what the devil was saying through these people. And I'm not special. It's happening to every born-again saint. And here's what the devil's doing through people. And all you have to do is take a notepad and write down what's being said when they call you on the phone. And you'll find that they're going to be talking about depression, bad news, suicide, going out partying, drinking, drugging, venting. They want you to vent. They want you to vent about your problems, and all you talk about is your problems, and they want to talk about their problems, how bad the world is and how bad everything is. That's what they want you to do. Why do they want you to do that? Because if you're thinking, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, lovely, good report, think on these things. And so they want you thinking on the negative. Why? Why does the devil want to speak through these people to get you to think on the negative? Why? Because what you think on reflects back. If you're only thinking about the negative, you're going to get negative back. Because it's reap what you sow in every level, in the physical, in the soul, in the mental, in the spiritual. So that's a watershed moment. You reap what you sow at every level. And so I realized the devil was speaking through people who are not spirit filled and pulling you back down to their playing field. You're trying to walk in the spirit. And they're happy to walk in the flesh, especially the ones that are married, because when you're married, you're the cares of this life. So what's happening is when you got somebody who's married and bogged down with the cares of this life, they're going to call you up if they're not spirit-filled, and they're going to be talking about the cares of this life. And the Bible says don't set your affections on things below, but things above. Took me a long time to figure out why Apostle Paul said what he said in 1 Corinthians 7. But now I know. Because when you're so concerned about the cares of this life, what happens? You're not setting your affections above, and all you care about is what's down here. And if all you care about is what's down here, you're going to stay in the loop. Loop-de-loop, going around the mountain. Everybody's got cares that they got to, everybody's got bills and health issues and jobs and responsibilities. But why talk about it? It's just, it is what it is. Why complain about it? It is what it is. Why not think about the Bible? What about what God is teaching you? What you're learning? What eternal truth you're learning? But see, people think when they're so bogged down with the cares of this life, they think the eternal truths are irrelevant. All they care, I got to figure it out down here. But the reality is, when you start to set your affections on things above, you see past the repeat time, and you can actually insert into the next day a seed. It's a trip, to be honest with you. You actually realize that the seed that you put out today comes back tomorrow. In 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in 30 minutes, a day. If you put enough patterns out there, they start to reflect back so much that the devil and all his angels will try to change that pattern. And you've set a pattern for so long that the devil's, he's a defeated foe anyway. He's a master deceiver, but all the patterns that he tries to throw in, you see through them. Every person that I saw was being used by the devil, and I cut them off one by one. The month of February, they all tried to show back up. And you might say, why? The reason why is the month of February is the festival, and then they start to plant the seed in March and April. They're trying to find something or somebody or something that they can insert into my ear gate. Their negativity, their insanity, their depression, their suicide comments, whatever. That's what they're trying to do. Instead of people who praise God, they're trying to send people who are so caught up in the chaos that it's ridiculous. Watershed moment, which I've known, but I just keep seeing it repeat. The devil has no new game. And the devil only, how is the devil, is the devil just going to show up in front of you? No. The devil's going to work through vessels. The devil's going to work through the media. The devil's going to work through human vessels. Why would the devil work through human vessels? That's his only option. He can't get to you any other way. Think about that. The devil can't get to you any other way. Unless God removes a hedge and he attacks your body and your, like the book of Job. The devil can't get through you except for through people. And so those people, when they talk out of character, like, did you see the basketball game? My team's going to beat you. It's like, who's speaking right now? Because I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even talk about that stuff. You're talking to the wrong. I don't even, that person, who are you talking to, you know? And so it's a devil in them trying to provoke you. When they know that you don't talk about that stuff, why are they talking about it? Trying to provoke you. The hive mind, the devil, spiritual hive. And so these watershed moments in life, when you realize your pastor tried to steal your spouse sometimes, there's some bad ones out there. When you realize that your whole society, your whole Gentile society was a big fat lie. You believe, you've been told lies your whole life. Watershed moment. These watershed moments, God allows you to see. And he doesn't show them to you all at once, because if you believed lies from childhood and God has to break you out of that box of lies that you believe, your culture lies, your bloodline, and then you get away, little by little, it's like he couldn't show it all to you at once, because if he showed it all at once, it would destroy you. You probably would jump off a bridge. It's so amazing. God is good. But the heart is deceitfully wicked. So the system that's been created is created by what? The devil working through humans. The god of this world is the devil. But how does he work? He works through the humans. So these people are speaking. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. These are archons. These are, what's the other word? It starts with an E. Forgot it right now. But these are beings that are working through humans. And the humans are actually like robots. And that's another watershed moment. When you realize that the old Adam is the flesh mind. It's the AI program. The AI program has no identity. So when you got a person walking around, when they have no identity in Christ, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get their identity out of you, out of some sport or some exercise or some car or some job or some position or some shoes or clothes or haircut, or they're trying to get their identity out of being famous or what other people think about them or whatever. And so what's happening here is we've got some AI programs walking around, and that's why they're running from house to house speaking things they ought not, because they have no identity. And so they're trying to find their identity. The only reason a person cheats on somebody is they're looking for an identity. They have no identity. The only reason a person is addicted of something, they have no identity. Addiction, A-D-D-I. D-I is the opposite of I-D. So their addiction is no identity. The reason they're addicted to something, because they don't know who they are. They have no identity. Because once you know who you are, there's no need for an addiction. Because an addiction is just a substitute identity. So they're sitting there puffing on some kind of rolled up something. I'm cool. I'm smoking a marijuana joint. I'm cool. I'm drinking a Budweiser. They get their identity out of that thing they're smoking, or they get their identity out of that thing they're drinking, or they get their identity out of how they walk or dress or look or act or whatever it is. It's an identity warfare. And so it hit me today that the AI program, if you follow it back, it goes back to algebra, and it goes back to algorithm. And so if you play the stock market, the cryptocurrency, you'll see that as soon as you put an order in to buy, the function tries to fill that order. And then when you put an order in to sell, the cryptocurrency tries to fill that order. And so whether you're buying or selling, the algorithm tries to fill that order. Right? Because why? Because it has no identity. It's an algorithm. So it's trying. Look, an AI program has no identity. You have an identity in Christ. So everybody around you who does not have their identity in Christ, they're like the snake. Up and down, up and down, up and down. They're trying to fill that void, right? They're trying to fill that order, that void. That's why they cheat. That's why they lie. That's why they're running around. That's why they're trying all these different things. They're going here and going there, house to house, this and that. Why? Because they have no identity. They have no identity. And it's because, think about the AI program. It's just a program. It has to follow what you're telling it to do. The program follows what you're telling it to do. And it's trying to fill, fill that and meet that need or meet that desire or meet that function. It's just like before you get saved, you have a void in your heart. And so you're looking around. God is trying to call you, but you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off because you have no identity. And actually, you're being called to God to get your identity out of God, out of Christ, the body of Christ, your identity in Jesus. And so usually the woman gets her identity out of the man, right? So that's why she'll go into the drama game. That's why she watches those soap operas, a lot of women. The spirit-filled women, I doubt they watch the soap operas at all. But why? Why is it up and down drama? Why is the sine wave? Because she's trying to fulfill her, she's trying to find her identity. People changing jobs all the time. They're trying to find where they belong, their identity. People changing careers, people changing whatever it is. They're trying to fill that identity void. And so the AI program is not going to be happy until it gets its identity in something, finds its place. Apostle Paul said, we fill up that which is behind, right? He filled up that which is behind. In other words, he followed after Christ to give. Jesus showed up, went to the cross, sent back the Holy Spirit. He appointed the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles to give out the gospel to the whole world. He's fulfilling. He's been put in time. He's left in time, the cycle of time, just like you're left in time, to fill up that which is behind. You have a duty, a responsibility, but it's not just that, it's a passion. So you have that passion to pull the elect out of Babylon. Why? Because you know Babylon is just a big fat lie and they've been deceived by the devil. And so when you pull them out of Babylon, it's a lot of work. Because they're still got one foot in Babylon and one foot in the promised land. And they think like Babylonians, but you're trying to train them to think like the elect. But you have to go through the same struggles, because if you hang out with them too long, you'll start to think like Babylon too. So you have to stay in the Word. You have to stay separate. You have to stay set apart, so that you can keep your mind in the promised land and not in Babylon. And so it's just an ongoing process of standing firm in your freedom in Christ. The simplicity that's in Christ. Especially a legalist, because when you tell them it's just faith alone and Jesus alone, the simplicity of the gospel, they always want to throw in works. Well, you got to do something. You got to do something. Jesus already did it all. It's finished. And so all these watershed moments in life, if you look back over your life, you realize you had an AI program at one time where you're trying to find your place, find out where you belong or where you should be. There'll come a point where you realize, I am where I am. I'm where I need to be right now. In the now. I don't need to be anywhere else. I am where I am because this is where God put me, and my identity is right here. You can try to change your lot in life, make it better if you want to, but you have to be content where you are first, right now, before you go out and try to change your lot in life. Because if you're not content now, you try to change your lot, you're not going to be content even if you change where you're at. You're going to learn to be content where you are. Then you can move to the next level once you get that, because that's the secret to life. Watershed moments.